Morning is titled God's Gift to Believers, and our text is from Romans chapter 8, 14 through 27, which was read earlier. But I think this is precious scripture, so I will read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. God's gift to the believers. Every word of God is true and powerful. As we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, man sinned and died spiritually to God. God had said in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. God put limitations on mankind, but man did not listen. The flesh took over. As a result, we are all born dead in sin and separated from God. But by the grace of God, He sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins, as it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His Son, Christ Jesus, was to pay the price for our sins with His blood that we could not pay. And that through faith in Jesus, we would not die but have everlasting life. If someone were to ask you, who is Jesus Christ? What would you say? Would you say that He is your Savior and your Lord? Thomas, when asked by Jesus, who do you say that I am? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. What a powerful testimony Thomas gave. When we believe in Christ Jesus, we are dead to sin and alive to God. Our faith in Christ gives us life, everlasting life. And the power of the Holy Spirit gives us victory over death. allowing us to enjoy life. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and leads us to faith in Jesus Christ. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In our text today, there will be three main points that we cover. First is our being spiritual children of God in verses 14 through 17. Secondly, the glory that is to come in verses 19 to 25. And third, the Holy Spirit's intercession for us in verses 26 and 27. Our first point, verses 14 through 17, speak of our being children of God, adopted into the family of God, and heirs of God. It is by the work of the Holy Spirit that we come to know Christ Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and reveals the Word of God to us and the work of God. As it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. We are led by the Spirit of God. God does not drive us or anyone to Him. He leads and we follow Him. As Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you submissive to God? In Matthew chapter 4, 19, it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Are you letting God lead you? It is our new nature that allows the Holy Spirit to lead us. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Because of faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do not need to fear. We should be filled with joy because we have been spiritually adopted into the family of God. We can cry out to God and He hears us because He is our Father. We can cry out to God in prayer and God will hear us, because He's our Father. As children of God, we have nothing to fear. One of my favorite verses is 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, which says, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. God who is in us is greater than Satan who is in the world. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it goes on and says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are greater than anything we will ever face. We need to understand that and know that deep within. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are greater than anything we will ever face. We just need to trust in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We are sons and daughters to Him. The very Word of God says we are God's children, and we are. He is our Father. We have been chosen by God to be His children. We can cry out, Abba, Father, which is even more personal than Father. It is like saying, Daddy. You know, there's many times I come to God, I come to my Almighty God, Father in heaven, and Father. But I never have come to him as daddy. And that's why it says, because this is so personal, it's not used. But God is our Father. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In the Hebrew law, it took two witnesses to make something true. Our witness before God is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that precious? Our witness before Almighty God is the Holy Spirit. It is so important for us to know that we are children of God and that God is there to help us. Verse 17 goes on and says, we are joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are to endure our faith. He wants us to acknowledge that we are children of God. Have you ever told someone that you are a child of God? Have you? Have you ever told someone that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord? And if you haven't, what are you enduring for him? Our second point in our text, in verses 19 through 25, speak of the glory to come. First, it says that creation itself is waiting for the glory of God to come. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden by taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all creation started to decay and die. The ground was cursed along with all descendants of Adam. Creation groans and waits for the glory of Christ to come again. In verse 23 of our text, it says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. The first fruits of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, I think, is a powerful verse, or powerful verses. It says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us as God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. These two verses say that we have been established in Christ, anointed by God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful? It puts all three parts of the Trinity, all three parts, persons of God, all together in one. And it gives their purpose. We have been established in Christ, anointed by God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Write these two verses down and go back over them yet for yourselves. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Even though we are spiritually adopted into the family of God, we groan waiting for the adoption of our bodies. We are waiting for our heavenly bodies. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 says, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We will have a new body, a heavenly body, a spiritual body, made by the hands of God. That is what Scripture is saying. And we groan and wait for that to happen. Because when that happens, we will be with him. Creation groans waiting for the coming of Christ. And we groan waiting for the coming of Christ and our adoption as sons of God and our redemption of our body. Our final point in this text, in this message this morning, from verses 26 and 27, is that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. In verse 26 it says, "And in the same way the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Have there ever been times when you were not sure what to pray for? You didn't know what words to say? You may have been so overwhelmed or so troubled or just not, or maybe under grief or whatever the case might have been, under tragedy. Well, here it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we do not know how to pray, the Spirit of God will make intercession for us with groanings which are beyond our understanding. Jesus said he would send us a helper and a comforter in John 14, 16. He said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Spirit is our intercessor, and he lives with us forever. Which means that the Holy Spirit doesn't just live with us today here when we've accepted Christ as our Savior. He'll live with us for eternity, forever. The Holy Spirit's going to always be with us. He's going to help us to pray. He's going to intercede for us. We have lights on a car called idiot lights. Did you know they were called idiot lights? Oh, Fanny knows and Kathy knows. They were called idiot lights. And they come on when there's a problem with the car. It could be low gas, low tire pressure. You know that one. Low water, etc. Similarly, the Holy Spirit is our idiot light. Why? Because we're idiots sometimes. That's why God commands us to pray. He says, "Call unto me. I will answer you and show you great mighty things which thou knowest not." We need the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit is there to help us when we have a problem with ourselves, with others, or with just those around us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. Just like those idiot lights in a car, they help us. When we think that we can go too far before filling up, or we're low on water, oil, whatever, the Holy Spirit will help us. In Scripture, we are compared to sheep. Sheep are not smart. They're defenseless on their own. We are like sheep and need the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and lets us know when we do something wrong. That's why we need him. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, our comforter, and our intercessor, praying for us when we do not know how to pray. And we should be praising God for that. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we do not know how to pray. So that means that nobody has an excuse to pray. The Holy Spirit will give us reason, will give us the words to share. He'll bring the words to our mind when we need them. Verse 27 of our text says, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Lord our God searches our hearts. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. When the Holy Spirit prays for us, he keeps us in the will of God. And he makes sure our prayers are in the will of God too. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it speaks of the heart. It says this, "For God sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, But the Lord looks at the heart. There is nothing we can hide from the Lord our God. What kind of heart does God want to see when he looks? He wants to see a heart devoted to him, a heart that loves him with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. God wants us to see a heart devoted to him. Amen is right, Josiah. It's humbling and tells us how much we need a gracious and loving God. We have two intercessors, the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Christ intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, and we brothers and sisters in Christ have so much to be thankful for that God has chosen us and spiritually adopted us as his children. And he has not left us out there on our own. None of us are on our own. Ever. When we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit and we have Christ, our Savior and Lord. They both intercede for us. In fact, it says in Scripture that Christ is our advocate before God. We may be accused night and day by Satan, the devil. But at the same time, Christ is advocating for us night and day. He who believes in the Son, Christ Jesus, has and is entitled to everything. Has and is entitled to everything. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says about our inheritance. It's imperishable, it's undefiled, and will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. We are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. How wonderful it is. How precious. We need to thank God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, almighty God, we just praise you and thank you of your gracious and loving thoughts toward us. How you watch over us, how you protect us, how you guide and direct our steps, and how the Holy Spirit keeps interceding for us as well as Christ our Lord and Savior. Father, we just thank you that we are never alone. As your child, you are always with us. How precious that is. Be with us and help us to understand and to know within our hearts that you're always with us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.